Hello, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us today to analyze the Piaggio Group first half 2015 financial results. Today's conference call will be held by Mr. Roberto Colaninno, Piaggio Group Chairman and Chief Executive Officer, and by Mr. Gabriele Galli, General Manager of Finance. During today's conference call, we will use the presentation you can download from our homepage. I remind you that during the conference call, we may use forward-looking statements that are subject to risks that can cause actual results to be materially different. Now, I'm glad to hand over the conference call to Mr. Gabriele Galli.
Good afternoon to everybody. We will start, as usual, looking at the slides with the presentation of the numbers. Starting by slide number three, we can have a view about the market demand. The market demand had a positive start during the year, and this start was strengthened throughout the semester. Looking at Western countries, we had a positive demand stemming from dual-speed performance. The European market demand continued to go up during the second quarter. The total number was +5%, with bikes up by 9% and scooters up by 2%. Italy and Spain growth double-digit, while France and Germany were pretty even, with an increase in motorbikes and a market pretty flat in terms of scooter. In North America, the market went down, especially in scooter, and this had an important impact on our performance, as we will see later on. Asia Pacific had a good market with a progressive increase across the quarter. Vietnam had a growth single-digit, especially pushed by the growth in automatic scooters. Asia ex-Vietnam had a growth in all the key markets apart from Indonesia. The market in India had a positive momentum with an acceleration across the semester. In particular, the three-wheeler market went up by 22%, with upper city packs alternative fuel growing by 46%. The four-wheeler went up by 5%, while the scooter market went up by 20%, with a strong boost in Q2, where the demand went up by 27%. Moving to slide number four, we can have a look at our performance inside the market. The European market had a very good performance, which was partially offset by the weakness we had in North America. We confirmed the leadership in the two-wheeler market with a gain in market share by 1.2 percentage points in scooters, where we grew from 24.8%-26% in terms of market share. The volume were growing, driven especially by performance in Italy, the Netherlands, and Germany. North America, as we said before, went on a different path, with the volume going down double-digit, especially due to the decrease in the market for scooters. In terms of segment, the highway segment went very good in Europe during the first half of the year, and we had a very good success of our new products, Medley and Liberty. The Vespa sales were good during the quarter, and the average price was a little bit down due to the different mix and due to the very strong sales of Liberty and Medley. As a total result, the Western country revenues went up mid-single-digit, with Italy and Germany going up double-digit. As a total, Europe went up by around 10%. In Asia-Pacific, the performance was weak. Vietnam was negative year-to-date, but during Q2 had a positive performance in terms of volume, around plus 4%. Asia, non-Vietnam, was slightly down versus previous year, with very good performance in some countries, such as Indonesia and Thailand, overridden by some volume decline in other countries, such as Taiwan and Malaysia. The regional prices were very much in line with the previous year, despite a negative forex effect. In India, we had a stable performance despite some market difficulties in export. In terms of 3-4-wheeler, we had a market share loss, mostly due to the unfavorable product mix. As we said before, the market for upper city parts grew by 46%, and as we know, the urban market is dominated by Bajaj, so they could have a very good advantage in terms of different dynamics of the market evolution. The total light commercial vehicle volume was slightly up, with sales domestic having a positive trend, more than offsetting the decline in some countries such as Nigeria and Sri Lanka. The volume of Vespa were in line with the previous year. In terms of total price, we had average price increasing, if we exclude, of course, the Forex, which had a negative impact since the rupee devaluated a little bit versus euro. As a total result, the revenues were slightly down versus previous year, with an increase by 3.5% if we exclude the forex impact. Going to slide number 5, we can have a view of the financials. We had a very strong cash flow generation, driven by both the operating performance and the discipline on working capital. As a total result, the net debt was very well below 2015 levels, both end of year and June last year. In terms of sales, we had an increase by around 13 million euros, plus 1.8% or plus 3.8% if we exclude the forex impact. The EBITDA was up by 6 million euros, plus 6.7% or 7.6% at constant forex, with an increase on ratio on net sales going up by around 0.7 percentage points. The net profit was up by 3 million, around 20%, with the ratio on net sales increasing by around 0.4 percentage points. The gross margin increased by around 12 million euro, with an increase of ratio by 1.2 percentage point from 29.5 to 30.6%, proving that we are going on with our discipline on pricing and with our cost reduction. The OPEX increased a little bit, mainly after a little bit higher marketing OPEX, some new initiatives, and the increase of depreciation and amortization. In terms of financial expenses, we had a slightly better result compared to last year. CAPEX were at 47 million euro, which is around 5 million higher than 2015. But our target of closing 2016 at around 100 million euro is, of course, still in place. In terms of cash flow generation, we reduced the debt to 480 million euro, which is 55 million better than MSP last year in June, and 18 million euro below December 2015. Moving to slide number six, we can have a look at the P&L. So, as we said before, the turnover was up by around 1.8% or 3.8% excluding the Forex. The gross margin percentual was up from 29.5 to 30.6. The EBITDA was up by around 6 million, which is around 7%. With an increase from 13.7% on sales to 14.4%. Depreciation slightly increased from 52 to 53.7 million euros, with an impact on EBIT increasing by around 4.8 million from 42.9 to 47.8, which is the 11.3%. Financial expenses decreased by 0.5 million euro from 18.3 to 17.7, and tax rate stood the same at 40%, with a net income improving from 14.8 to 18.0 or 21.9%. Net financial position, we already said, from 498 at the end of year to 479.9 in June, and cash flow positive during the half by 18.2 million euro versus an absorption of 42.5 last year, posting an improvement of around 60 million euros. Moving to slide number seven, we can look at the volumes. The volumes were up by 2.6%. The Western country were up by 6.9%. Europe inside the Western country was up by 9.5%. Asia Pacific was down by 5.2%. Indian two-wheeler was up by 0.5%. And I remember that you that started from August, we will be in the market with a new product, which of course will help performance of Vespa in two-wheeler segment. Western countries commercial vehicle was up by around 8 percentage points, while Indian commercial vehicle was up by 0.2%, excluding the export. The performance of domestic market was up by 5.4%. Moving to slide number 8, we can have a look at the net sales. Net sales were up by 1.8%, could have been 3.8% excluding the Forex effect. Western country was up by 4%, and inside Western country, Europe was up by 6.9%. Asia Pacific was down by 6%. Excluding the Forex would have been 4.1. Indian two-wheeler was up by 7.5% and would have been plus 15% without the Forex effect. Western country commercial vehicle was up by 18.3%, and Indian commercial vehicle was down by 3.6%, would have been plus 2.7%. Excluding the Indian rupees devaluation. Moving to slide number 8, we can look at the sales performance in terms of product. So scooters were up by 2.1 percentage point, bikes were up by 1.3 percentage point, commercial vehicles were down by 0.8, And also in this number, the negative Forex played, of course, a negative role, because most of these sales are done in India. Spare parts and accessories were up by 3 percentage points. Moving to slide number 10, we have a look at the EBITDA evolution. Last year we were at 95.1 or 13.7% of sales. We had a positive contribution in terms of gross margin from increase of sales. The contribution was 4.1 million euro. We had a positive contribution on gross margin coming from cost of goods sold reduction, and this contribution was plus 6.8 million euro. And then we had a slight increase in OPEX, going up by 4.4 million euro. The total result on EBITDA, as we commented before, is 101.5 million euro or 14.4% on sales. Moving to slide number 11, we have a look at the net result evolution. Last year we were at 14.8. We had a positive contribution of EBITDA of 6.4 million. A negative contribution of increase of depreciation and amortization by 1.6 million. An improvement in terms of financial expenses of 0.5 million euro. And of course, an increase in taxes coming from higher earnings before tax by 2.2 million euro, leading to an overall net result of 18.0 million euro. An improvement by 2.1 million euro versus last year. Moving to slide number 12, we have the view of the evolution of the net financial position. So we started the year at 498.1. We have a positive contribution coming from the operating cash flow by 76 million euro, which is an increase of around 12 million euro compared to the 64 million of previous year. We had a cash release from working capital of around 15 million euro, and last year it was an absorption of 33.8 million. So the net difference between the 2 years is almost 50 million euros. In terms of CapEx, we invested a little bit more. This year it was 47 million versus 43.5 last year. And in terms of change in equity and other, which is basically conversion reserve, dividends, and buyback, we had an absorption of 25.7 million euro versus 29.1 last year. The buyback this year, just to give you further detail, was around 5 million euros. Last year it was zero. Last slide, the balance sheet. So the most important part, as you can see here, is the working capital evolution. As we said before, last year it absorbed 33.8, this year it released 14.9. So we had a very good performance in terms of accounts receivable. So despite the increase in net sales, we have been able to reduce the total trade receivable from 158 million last year to 118 million this year. We released of around 40 million euro of cash. In terms of inventory, we had a slight increase, 11 million euro, from 246 million to 257 million. This is due to higher flow of product going from one plant to another continent. In terms of commercial payable, we had a release of around 40 million euros. So last year the commercial payable were around 440 million. This year we are at 480 million, due mostly to increased volume of sales, production, and purchasing. In terms of other assets and liabilities, we had an increase from around 53 last year to 59.2 this year. Apart from working capital, tangible and intangible stood very much aligned. Last year we were at 989 million euro. This year we are at 982 million euro. Financial investment and provision are very much aligned. So in terms of net invested capital, we have been decreasing from 945 million last year to 873 million this year. This reduction of net invested capital went to reduction of net debt, as we commented before, by around 55 million euro. And also we had a reduction in net equity coming from Forex variances. Last year we were at 410, this year we are at 293. In terms of net debt to equity, we had a significant improvement. Last year we were at 1.3, this year we are at 1.22. So, and then I think we can start with the questions.
Yes.
The Q&A session is now open. You can register for your question by dialing star followed by 1. To cancel reservation, dial star followed by 2. Thank you. First today's question comes from Ms. Monica Bosio of Banca IMI. Ms. Bosio, please.
Good afternoon, everyone. I would have a few questions. The first one is if you can just give us some highlights on the volume trend in July for Europe, Asia, and India. I'm just wondering if for Europe now things will continue to maintain sound in the first half. The volumes were up by 9.4, and what do you expect by year end? My estimates personally takes into account a little bit higher growth. That's for Europe. And the second usual question is on the guidance. Consensus is at now at 180 million euro for the EBITDA. Do you feel comfortable with this level, or do you see some downside risks from India maybe, or something else? And I would say that the last question is on the net debt. Net debt in the first half was much better than market expectations. I was wondering if you figure out, if you can give us some indication by year end, as the market is setting at 480 million euro in terms of net debt, but maybe with a higher volumes in Europe and a positive effect on the working capital, a release of cash, maybe things can go better. Thank you very much.
Okay, so in terms of July sales, the market in Europe has still gone well. In these first days of July, there was a little bit of reduction in the speed of Italian market, but we are performing very well in terms of market share, mostly due to the new tobacco we launched last year, so Medley and Liberty. So we are pretty confident that we are able to go on a good path here in Italy and in Europe. Moving to India, I mean, to your questions, There was a little bit of reduction of the growth in terms of market during the first days of July. Export is still difficult because Nigeria and other countries really didn't start to perform very well, and there are still similar difficulties in terms of availability of dollars. So India may be aligned to last year during the month of July. As an overall performance, we believe that July can be better than June by around 3-4%. So some improvement compared to the current 1.8% of the first 6 months.
Okay.
So in terms of EBITDA, today the consensus is from 176 to 182. We are pretty confident that this kind of number is achievable.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
We are pretty confident that we will be able to achieve this number. Today, if we look at the consensus, we have somebody at 180, somebody at 176. So, I mean, it's a bracket results which can be absolutely ensured from here to the rest of the year. In terms of net debt, as you say, the performance was very good this year. And last year, we had the second part, or second half, where the performance was very much above the performance we usually have during the second half. Because if you look at the performance in terms of cash flow generation in the past year, the second half usually generates from zero to an absorption of 10 million. Last year we had a generation of 37 million euro, and which coupled to the 18 million euro generation during this first half gave a total performance of 55. We are confident that we can improve the current level of net debt from the current 480 with some better result. Of course, we will not be able to generate 37 million as last year, which was absolutely the top result Piaggio showed in the last 10 years.
Obviously, okay. Thank you very much.
The 480 million of the consensus, I believe, is absolutely confirmed, and we are working to beat it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Nicolo Storer of Mediobanca. Mr. Storer, please.
Yes, good afternoon to everybody. I have three questions for you. The first one is related to the outstanding gross margin that you released. And I was wondering what drove this performance, meaning is that something dependent from the product mix or from the raw material purchases or efficiency? So if you can comment a little bit on this and on the sustainability of such a level into year-end. The second question is related to the trend in European sales, and considering that you recently launched some new models, I was asking which is the sell-in, sell-out balance, if you see inventories in good shapes or swelling. And the last question is related to the launch of the Aprilia scooter in India. I was wondering if you have any target in terms of sales, and if you can disclose if the expected profitability of this model could be comparable to the one of Vespa. Thank you.
Okay, so in terms of gross margin, I believe there was a contribution of some different impacts. So starting from India, where the gross margin had a very, very good increase, we had say a reorganization of the plants and a reorganization of the purchasing department with some good results coming from these two operational levels. On top of that, we had also some reduction in the raw material price, which was not followed by a reduction in price. Conversely, we increased the price. So India was one of the levers. In Europe, we had a better capacity utilization, of course. I mean, as we commented many times, when the market was down, we have been able to cut costs, and the cost cutting maintained the level of the marginality. Now that the volume is increasing, at least for the same base, the capacity utilization is getting stronger, and so together with the capacity utilization, also the cost of the product benefits. On top of that, we are going on with a policy of price consciousness, price increase without making discounts at all. In other countries such as Asia Pacific and the US, the marginality stood pretty constant. In terms of trend, the number you see in terms of sell-in were very much aligned with the sell-out. During this month, we didn't increase at all the metal stock. We reduced a little bit, actually. And this kind of performance can be seen also in terms of accounts receivable. So the big reduction in accounts receivable, which was something common to Europe, US, Asia, India, you can imagine that the 40 million euro accounts receivable reduction is spread, say, more or less one-fifth per different region. So in terms of network stock, I can assure you that we didn't increase. We reduced a little bit, proving that the sell-out trend is in line or a little bit better than the sell-in trend. In terms of Aprilia scooter, it will be launched end of August. We plan to start with volumes aligned during the first month with the volume of Vespa, so around 3,000 per month, leading to a target of 15,000 for the end of 2016. So the 5 months of 2016.
Okay, thank you. Maybe very last question on the Wii bikes. If you could tell us the number of units sold in terms of numbers, because I see the number in euro terms, but not in units.
Okay, so. The bikes are not registered, so the real number of sellout is not available as for scooters. But in any case, I mean, the performance is a tough market. It's a tough market, so we are performing, but we expect to improve a little bit in the future because, I mean, the competition is tough. We are talking about new channels, completely different distribution. So, I mean, we have to find a way to make it work a little bit better.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Giacomo Confino of White Box Advisors. Mr. Confino, please.
Hi there. Just one question from me. I noticed that the gross amount of payables is up around about 100 million from the 2015 year end. I'm just curious, what amount of the gross payables are currently covered by reverse factoring or supply chain financing agreements? Thank you.
Okay, so in terms of direct factoring, we had numbers absolutely aligned to previous year. In terms of reverse, so I mean, I don't understand very much the question because, I mean, reverse factor is not a reduction in debt. Is a way of having some money which should be some debt versus a bank instead of versus a supplier. So I mean, I'm not talking about something that can improve the number you can read in the balance sheet. But in any case, the number you will see in the balance sheet, which will be published in detail in some days, is this year 197 million euro, which are intermediated through reverse factoring. In December this year, we were at 147, and in June last year, we were at 151. So this is the number of commercial payable current managed through reverse factoring. But we're not talking about something material for the balance sheet.
Okay. Thank you. Just a follow-up question. Can you just detail, please, how exactly the arrangement works in regards to the reverse factoring?
Sorry, could you repeat the question? Sorry.
Apologies. How exactly does the reverse factoring agreements work?
I mean, it works very simply because, I mean, we have some money we should be paid to the supplier. The contract is given to a bank, and at the bank, at the end of the period, the bank pays the supplier and we pay the bank. If the supplier wants to be paid in advance, he has the opportunity to make the reverse factoring, and so he can be paid instead of, say, 90 days, at 30 days, and he pays for the interest. So it's like this. Then, I mean, we have different kind of reverse factoring. We have some supply chain is called in India, we have supply chain in Vietnam, reverse factoring is here in Europe. So in terms of details, there may be some differences, but the general process for reverse factoring is this one.
Thank you.
Okay.
No questions at the moment. Next question comes from Mr. Renato Gargiulo of Intermonte. Mr. Gargiulo, please.
Yes, good afternoon. My first question is on price mix. Could you please provide an update on the full year? Do you expect some improvement for the second half of the year? Then my second question is a more general question on Asia. Given that you are still experiencing softer volumes in local markets, are you implementing some new initiatives or any changes in the local strategy for the next quarters? Thank you.
Sorry, in India, you're meaning?
In Asia.
In Asia. Okay, Asia Pacific. Okay.
Okay, in terms of price mix, I don't expect any significant variation because, I mean, the price mix is usually changed at the beginning of the year. Then if you launch some new model, you have some new price introduction or some price update. For example, if you launch an Euro 4 model, which has some more features, you can increase a little bit the price.
But I mean, it's not a change in strategy, it's a change of, I mean, some adaptation, say. And in terms of product mix, all the main products are already in the market, if we exclude the scooter for India. So really, from now on, I really cannot envisage some big differences. And I mean, for Vietnam, as you said, I mean, the performance is not so good. But I mean, we have to focus on how to compete against Honda, which is pushing very hard in this kind of market. They are launching a product which are premium. So I mean, we are fighting directly against them, and we of course have some normal changes in the organization. But we are not talking about some big change.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Jacob Confino of White Box Advisors. Mr. Confino, please.
Hello, all. Sorry, one follow-up question. I'm just looking at the days your payables are outstanding, and it seems like it's quite a high number. I'm just wondering if you could clarify, what are the days your suppliers usually allow? Thank you. The number of days.
Yeah, it depends very much on the geographical location of the supplier. So we can go from 60 days to 120, depending on the geography.
Okay, but it appears you have, you know, about space of 160 to 170 days currently. Should we be treating those additional days as debt, as it's effectively cash owed to banks?
No, I mean, what we have in this 480 million debt we have is due to purchase of raw material, purchase of components, purchase of investment, purchase of OPEX, purchase of all kind of stuff. So I would like to have 160 days of DPO, but unfortunately I do not have them. And I mean, again, the kind of reverse factoring you see, so the number I commented before is the number translated from reverse factoring company. So I'm not talking about something which should be added to the balance sheet, of course.
Is there an interest charge to the payable?
If you need more info, I'm roughly speaking, you can call me later on tomorrow and we can have an in-depth analysis of this issue, but otherwise we will spend all the conference call speaking about suppliers and payables.
Understood.
So,
thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Nicolo Storer of Mediobanca. Mr. Storer, please.
Yes, another two questions, if I may. The first one is on the North American market. The situation seems quite dire. So, what's your view on this market for the second part of the year? And second question on Latin America. You have signed some relevant agreements. So, have you any kind of target and how you think you can act in the region? I mean, you are planning to import vehicles from India, from Vietnam, from maybe from Europe, or maybe in the future to build a facility there. Thank you.
Okay, so starting from U.S., I mean, it depends very much on the situation of the market during the second part of the year. So as we said at the beginning, the scooter market suffered very much during the first half, and so our performance is mostly due in U.S. to scooter market, because we sell bikes, but as you can imagine, While we are absolute market leader in scooters, our market share in motorbikes is much more limited. And so a decrease of the market really affects us. So if the market goes on playing this way, of course, our performance would be very much following the market. Otherwise, we can improve. In our view, there should be some improvement in the remaining part of the year. Going to Latin America, we are doing new contracts. As you read, we are doing something in Brazil, we are doing something in Argentina. And the kind of product we will use will be the most, the best product for the market. So, depending very much. So, we can decide to import a vehicle coming from Europe. We can even decide to import something coming from India if it is the case. So, we want to follow the customer, and we believe there is space for different kind of products, both European and coming from Asia.
Great, thanks.
No questions at the moment. I'd like to remind you that if you want to register for your question, you can press star followed by one.
Okay, if there are no more questions, I think that we can stop the call now. As usual, if you need more info, you can call me later on tomorrow, after tomorrow. And so I thank you, everybody, to attend the conference call, and I wish you a good afternoon. Thank you. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is over. Thank you for calling.